Welcome to the Mindful Edge, everybody, where we dive deep into the intersections of mental health, leadership, and resilience through the power of personal transformation. I'm Dr. P, the leadership coach. I'll be your host today, and I'll turn it over to Cecil.
And I'm Cecil, and I am the licensed mental health therapist. And today we're going to have an episode that kind of sticks with you. So this is going to be a fun one today.
All righty. So today we are sitting down with someone whose story is both raw and real. Dr. Victor Coleman, better known as Dr. V the Speaker. He went from an early troubled childhood from, we call it from mugshots to microphones, becoming an electrician, now to a nationally known speaker, telling kids to stay in school, listen to their parents, and lead their lives differently.
Dr. V's living proof that your past doesn't have to define your future, and that resilience is about rewriting your story with courage and purpose.
Please welcome Dr. Victor Coleman, better known as Dr. V, the speaker.
Dr. V, we're glad you're here today. So let's hear what you got to tell us today.
Man, I'm glad to be here. It's early. Here's my thoughts. Let me grab it. Okay, I'm there. All right, no, I'm glad to be here, man. This is beautiful what you have here and the topics you're discussing to share with our communities.
So let's get started. Let's get into the meat of this because, you know, Dr. V is amazing. But Dr. V, take us back to a moment in your life growing up, and how did you find yourself going down the path that led you to those mugshots we see on your van?
That started very early in life because, I think back to childhood. Couldn't even tell you how old I was, but I just knew that I was unhappy with my life, my parents, the life we live, right? And I made myself a victim very early on in life. So kind of when I'm speaking, I tell people, you know, early on, my parents named me Victor, which means I was called to win, but I chose a victim mentality, right? Because something somebody else didn't do in my life. So when my father didn't show up, I thought, you know what? Who cares, right? And my behavior went behind that. So I would destroy my life or attempt to destroy my life because somebody else didn't show up for me.
He's starting already.
Now we got to go into some deeper questions now because he's talking more. So looking back, right, as a kid, were there any signs that you may see now that impact your mental health?
Oh, there were a lot of signs. Right outside my front door was violence. Right next door was the trap house, right? inside my home was domestic abuse. My father wasn't there, you know, in my personal life, right? Pick one, right? Okay. When we talk about adverse childhood experiences, I woke up every day and I could just pick one.
Wow. I've known you for a long time and I've heard you speak. But to hear it in that way, I don't think I've ever heard it in that way. So having that, you know, and we talk about ACEs, right? You know, the childhood adverse effect when we see and experience abuse. What was the breaking point for you where you realized this can't be my story forever?
I was 28 years old before I decided that, you know what, enough is enough.
28.
So at 28 years old, I looked at my children. There's a picture of my youngest son, who's now 18. He was holding $10,000 in drug money. And, you know, everybody wants to take pictures with money, right?
So my
youngest brother at the time took a picture of my son holding my drug money. And I looked at him and said, you got to change. Because you're giving your permission to be you and you don't even like you.
That you don't even like you, that was a line.
Oh, that was a line right there. That was a bar.
That was a...
Bars. I didn't like who I was, right? But what do we do when we don't like who we are? We don't like something. We cover it up with something else.
Yeah.
So hustling was easy for me. I could go get cars and paint them and clothes and cover up all the trauma and the pain. And people would just, yay, he's here, right? Mm. But I would go home and cry.
So that was the time you were vulnerable by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Had to take that mask off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm really I don't stuck. Mean to make the show emotional.
No, but I mean, this is good. Because oftentimes, and Cecil and I talk about this when we talk about mental health, right? And the vulnerability to even say that. And being a man.
Correct.
To say at night, it looked a certain way when I was out in the streets, right? When I was out in the world. But when I was at home by myself, I cried.
Yeah.
So you had to do vulnerability by yourself?
Had to. I had to release that weight. Because when you walk outside that door, the world is against you. And if you let the world know how you really feel, right? This is how I felt at the time, right? You let the world know how you really feel, they're going to attack you, right? Yeah. So I covered it up, as most of us do. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was good at covering it up, but clearly with mugshot after mugshot, I wasn't as good as I thought, right?
Right.
And when you look at my mugshots, it wasn't because of the drugs or the stealing cars and all of that did that. It was the trauma of me having outbursts and wanting to fight and this rage that was coming out.
Okay.
Mm. See, it wasn't even the other stuff that trauma was boiling inside. And every time I get upset, I'm flipping the table. Why?
Because it looks like you have the cars, you have the nice clothes, you have all the things.
Life is going well.
Yeah, but I'm still angry.
Was it anger or was it hurt?
Both. Because I'm angry that I'm allowing myself to be hurt or not allowing myself to be hurt, right? Mm-hmm. I'm angry with me, but I'm hurt by somebody else.
Bard, too.
Listen, he's giving a lot of captions right now.
Wow. I can relate to that. You know, looking the way when you put it that way, I can relate to that. I think a lot of people can relate to that because things happen. You're angry, but, right?
Yeah.
So you were still in that moment letting someone else's life decisions affect your life in a way.
Yeah. And let me say, you know, at 28 is when I realized I didn't want to be a victim anymore, but I still had not gotten on the right track of healing, right? I started to change behaviors. I enrolled in school. I started to do the outward things that people do to get on track. But I still wasn't dealing with that trauma that happened when he was a little boy. I still didn't deal with the trauma of the fact that I failed the second grade because I couldn't read and write.
Wow.
But God moving me into school or down that path of education, what it did was it made me confront the trauma. I had no choice but to confront the trauma.
And I know we keep talking about the mugshots. Was there a mugshot that made you have to say, you know what, I have to change?
I tell people this when I speak. I say, you know, yes, you see my mugshots on display, right? We all have a mugshot. You may not have a mugshot, but you have a mugshot moment.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I have mugshot moments that made me change.
Okay.
And the biggest moment was that my son holding that money.
Okay.
Because I seen his mugshot.
Got you.
Okay.
Right. And I didn't want him to be me. I don't want my children to be me and I'm hating me. So that was the moment that said, everything, cold turkey, we're done.
Okay.
We're done. You got to find a better way and stick to it. And I'm grateful for that day, that moment, that picture. I thank my younger brother for taking the picture. And it helped me get on path.
Good.
Of the path of healing and success.
Wow.
Now let's kind of convert into this shift you made.
Yeah.
So you made a shift and became an electrician. Why that particular path, and why did it give you and that younger self needed? Like, what did it give your younger self?
So let me correct that one. I'm not an electrician. I would not touch electric. So the electric company took a chance on me.
Okay.
Okay.
So I always tell people this. People, because I still am employed by them today.
Okay.
And people say, well, why are you so loyal to them? You got Dr. V, you're doing all. I said, man, they took a chance on a kid from the hood.
Ooh. Wow.
They did.
Yeah.
I had mugshots leading all the way up to that moment. And I remember when they told me they were going to do the background check, I cringed like, I'm not going to get this. Mm-hmm. And the guy, he's now retired. I remember him calling home or calling my mom and telling him, tell your son, don't worry. I'm going to make sure he gets hired. And I'm like, God, who is this man?
And how is he going to do this?
Right. But I was hired. And I'm going to show you. Let me give you two pieces. I never applied for Toledo Edison. I don't know how he ended up with my resume.
Okay. God.
My background said I should not be hired by this organization. God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then when it came time to be hired in, it was a group of us that were being hired in, but I was the only one hired directly into the company. The rest were hired as contractors.
Ooh.
God.
Wow. That's a testament to when you really want to change. And, you know, people talk about God or, you know, I would say however you visualize that. But really your thoughts and your actions really trigger everything to align up for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you're finally done with whatever you're done with, it all lines up.
But you have to remember, too, when you're done, the enemy lines up, too.
Now,
you know,
we can snap on this podcast. I will snap.
Listen, like the young people say clock it. And Cecil and I thought we were cool saying clock it. And then Miles was like, no.
Dad, no go. He was like, don't do that, Dad. Don't do that.
Right. But just as the good things line up, so does the enemy. You know, those things that will take you back down that path.
Yeah.
So I've had over the years, I mean, not now, but over the years when I was making that transition, people say, you know, why would you go back to school and you got a good job? Why would you this and you that, right? Like, that's the enemy giving you that pull, right? And the person may not have realized they were being used,
yeah,
right? But there's a young man in the city. When I hit rock bottom one time trying to make that true transformation and change, right? I hit rock bottom. And this is before the mugshot moment of my son.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was like, I got to get back into the streets. I had took a pause.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to get back. And he told me, don't come back out here, man. And he was out there himself.
Wow.
So every time I see him, I show him love and give him credit because you helped me stay the course. And then soon after, that was like a December of 04. And then it was right that spring year. So I got hired to the Edison in March of 05.
Okay.
So him encouraging me to stay away from the streets allowed, you know, me to truly see my blessing that was coming my way.
And I always say, you know, having grown up in what people would say would be the hood now, to us back then, it was just a mix of working class, middle class neighborhoods. But I always say I can remember when you talk about mugshot moments, and I tell people I'm just one of the ones, smart girls that made it out. I'm not the only smart girl because there were other smart girls that I grew up with. But I do remember some of the, you know, what my mom would say, the knuckleheads. I do remember them saying things to me like, you're smart. You're going to make it. You're going to do this and that. And so when I see people, I don't discount them because just because their situation may look a certain way doesn't mean that they can't see the beauty in life and the beauty in other people. Mm-hmm. Because some of those people like you, that some people would discount, they spoke life into us at a time when no one else saw that.
Correct.
Yep. We were standing in the middle of Franklin Park Mall. I'll never forget it. Like, wow.
Wow.
Like, bro, I'm struggling out here.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get back on my feet, as we would say, right?
Right.
And he like, nah.
You can't do this.
Nah.
Do you feel like that was your younger self talking to you?
I don't know if it was my younger self. Because I don't know that my younger self was that wise.
Okay. That part. Okay. Maybe it was the future self.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. There it is. Yeah. There it is.
Okay.
There
it is. In a present moment. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. He gave me a glimpse of, and so I'm grateful, you know, because one, if I would have done it my way, what blessing would I have blocked?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, how many times have we gotten in the way of our own?
Mm-hmm.
own stuff.
Mm-hmm. I would cough on here, but.
Look, for me, probably yesterday.
Yeah, listen.
You know, we always say, and I always say, resilience isn't bouncing back, but it's a building a spring forward. What daily practices or mindsets helped you stay the course or continue, I would say, your mental health maintenance, having experienced what you experienced and then staying the course now?
Discipline.
Ooh. I always tell my leaders, you know, the foundation of your leadership practice is the discipline.
Discipline. See, people, and we talked about it earlier on, right? He's strong-minded. No, it's the discipline. I know what being undisciplined has gotten me.
Ooh, is this bar 3 or 4?
We're about 6, 7.
Okay, so, okay.
Right. So when I reflect on, Vic, you weren't disciplined in this space or that space, mm-hmm. and this was the outcome. Now I'm getting up and going to the gym this morning, right?
Yeah.
And on the way to the gym, it's praise and worship. And when I'm working out, it's praise and worship. And then when I leave the gym, it's praise and worship. Mm-hmm. My music is different. That
you put in your...
What I consume now is different. We talked about me being vegan. Mm-hmm. What I consume now is different, mm-hmm. right? When I sit down to read, it's not just a magazine. It's a book that can feed my spirit. It's different.
Yeah.
So it's the discipline, because I don't want to go back.
Man, I feel you.
I don't want to go back.
Yeah, I don't want to go back. When you see and experience what it was,
Life on this side of healing, healing is always a journey. Right.
Yeah.
Our therapist is in the room to take that.
Listen, and it's not linear.
It's a journey, right? But when I look at moments, I had road rage bad. There's several times in the city of Toledo I pulled people out of the car, followed them home, because my anger got the best of me. And now when I have those moments, or I see those moments occur that I would have triggered me in the past to do something stupid, I kind of laugh and say, oh, you tested me again, huh? Right? But it looks different now. Peace and happiness feel so good that I won't allow anyone to disrupt it.
Even you saying that, it just brings a calmness over the room. Because we can feel it, the peace that you have, the aura. Mm-hmm.
Because listen, I'm listening and I'm thinking about this question. I'm like, but he kind of told us. He kind of gave us some insight into his discipline. Do you think for you on a daily basis, there's ever a time you might slip on your discipline and you are harder on yourself?
Every time I might slip, I think I'm so routine now that I'm not saying I don't slip. Nobody's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I'm so routine in how I move through life now that.
Nope.
So we've gone from mugshots to your mindsets. Let's talk about from survival to service and your work with the young people. You tell kids to stay in school, listen to their parents. You know, that sounds good. But what's the deeper message behind it when you're out speaking to young people?
I'm actually speaking to their parents. Mm. My message isn't for the youth. Mm. It applies to them to help them not go where we have gone.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking to their parents. Because what I know will happen is they'll come home and say, we had this speaker at the school today, and he talked about us living our dreams, and he talked about us, you know, being children at heart and understanding that whatever that message may have been for the day, they go home and tell that to their parents. Mm-hmm. You know what it makes the parent do? Reflect.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to the parent.
Definitely.
Right, because when I look at my mugshots, I see the broken boy inside of a man's body.
Ooh, we'll sit with that for a minute. When you look at your mugshots, you're looking at a broken boy inside of a man's body. And you know, that is powerful in and of itself, because when we look at the juvenile justice system, and I do work, you know, being a CASA, and I say all the time, and we talk about this because we both do stuff with parents, the children are a byproduct of how mm-hmm. they're parented or lack mm-hmm. thereof. Mm-hmm. But not to villainize the parents, right?
Right.
Because right. they know what they know and they don't know what they don't know. So you talk to the parents because that's where...
That's my audience.
Yeah. Had that's someone talk to your parents.
You know, the parents are trying to survive.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And if I can teach the parent through the child what survival really is versus what thriving is, I think that can make a difference. We think I did a session with the students of the Junior Achievement Fifth Year Program on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, how much money do you need to live comfortably? And everybody thinks you need $1 million.
Yeah, no.
But I said, what if you change the way you live? And I broke down to them why you didn't need $1 million to be comfortable and live a good, happy, healthy life.
Yeah.
And by the end of the session, they were like, well, no, I don't need $1 million. No, you don't, right? Yeah. And we're so busy striving for $1 million mm-hmm. that we never realize that our $1 million value is the healing. It's the happiness that we get in that moment.
Yeah.
We miss out on great moments and memories with mm-hmm. the ones we say we love chasing mm-hmm. $1 million.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same, guilty, yeah.
Right? My son, his birthday is Monday. I call him my superhero son. They're all superheroes to me, but he'll be 24. He's on his way to a cruise.
Okay.
I made it my point to get up at 4:30 to see him off out the door to go get on his flight, right, mm-hmm. with his friends.
Yeah.
Like, those are moments and memories.
That you will never get back.
Yeah.
Now, I could have laid there and said, all right, he grown. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Take lots of photos.
You give him a couple dollars.
No.
He said, no.
Well, it's not that because you live in the house and you don't have to pay no bills.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you got money.
You got rental property, Airbnb. You got a nice job. Like, you got some bread, bro.
Let me borrow some money, right?
Let me get some money. Leave $100 on the table for the light bill. Pretty joke.
I know you said the broken boy to a man. Was there a part of your life that you had to heal that broken boy?
Yes. Oh, man, why you going to do this?
It's a therapist in me.
Yeah, it's about mental health.
All right. So in late 2020, early 2021, I went through divorce. That's when the boy healed. I woke up for a year. Every morning I would wake up out of my sleep crying, tears in my eyes, and I couldn't figure out why. Wow. And I had to go to therapy and figure out why. And that's when I uncovered a lot of the trauma that I had covered up. Mm. Right? I knew I had trauma from childhood. I was just acting certain ways, and I couldn't understand why, where it came from, why I had all these guards up, different things. And when I went to therapy and I'm unpacking, mm-hmm. And I remember after that year, so it was February of 2022, I went to Hawaii for 2 weeks. And I remember going up on one of, I call them mountains. They weren't that high, but it was a mountain to me. It was my mountain moment.
Okay.
I went up there and I had praise and worship on the top of that mountain. Mm-hmm. And I remember just saying to God, you know, if you can remove this pain that I feel, I leave it up here. Mm-hmm. When I come down, I forgive anybody who's ever violated me. I want the trauma gone. I want to feel happy and healthy. And I'm asking for anybody I may have violated to forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I left it all up there at the top of that mountain. I came down and life has been different ever since.
Wow.
So I know Dr. V stands for Vic, but that was vulnerability.
Definitely.
And I think that's big for you to let our listeners know where you were at in that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially for men.
Yeah.
Right. Men think therapy is this like foreign place that you have to learn something new, and it's really just you unraveling that broken boy.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And having known both of you and seeing both of you go through the time of divorce and being worried about both of you through that. But also seeing you come out of it speaks to how important not only self-leadership, mm-hmm. but friendship, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. matters. Because I think a lot of times when we're vulnerable or people have the lack of vulnerability, sometimes we don't. The people that care for you or your friends don't know what to do or say.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a silent worry, a silent prayer.
You know, it's interesting you say that because a lot of people kept asking me, like, what do you need from me in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't need you to do anything, mm. right? Just listen.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need advice. I'm not looking for advice.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just being present,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in silence. But what I don't need you to do, and I had several people suggest it, and they didn't get many more phone calls in that season, you know, was to go do some toxic behavior.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
like I'm in my feelings. I'm all the way in the dumps in this season, and you telling me to go be toxic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You telling me to wake up something I put to bed a long time ago, and
Yeah.
Yeah. Divorce isn't easy as a man. The other side of it becomes a little bit easier, but mm-hmm. once you build a friendship group, which that's how I met Dr. V actually, was a group of men who would meet at night, like once a week,
mm-hmm.
On Zoom, and we were just kind of talking about us.
Wait a minute, you Vic, you told me about that group,
yeah.
and I didn't know you were in that group, Cecil.
And so sometimes you know you get into those groups, and it's like, oh, you're the
guys keep secrets.
Listen,
you're the therapist.
So I got a chance to remove the therapy and kind of just be a man and be vulnerable. So that was a good space. So I feel like any man listening, mm-hmm. they should have a space.
And that's spot on right there, right? Mm-hmm. We get to remove the title because people say, Dr. V, give us a word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
yeah.
Dr. V just want to sit and be. Victor.
Oh, mm-hmm. tell me about it. Like
right.
when people are like, Dr. P, Dr. P. And I'm like, I really just want to go in the corner today.
Mm-hmm.
if you hug me too hard, I might crumble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here's another fun fact. Me and Dr. V are both Capricorns.
Okay. Don't get me started because I tell Cecil all the time. And I've told Vic too because we were at a conference together in April. And Vic said he was a Capricorn. I was like, oh, Lord. My dad was a Capricorn. Cecil's a Capricorn. You're a Capricorn. My partner is a Capricorn. A client I just signed is a Capricorn.
We all around.
We're all successful too.
But you mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. successful. And mm-hmm. you guys are amazing. I think what surprises me most, you know, about you Capricorn folks is, like you mentioned, the discipline. And I've learned that from being connected to all of you, that discipline is the foundation of how you, you know, deal with those setbacks, challenges, and everything. And it's really the foundation of your resilient practices.
Absolutely. Discipline.
So I know we kind of talked about therapy. How do you give that to the people you're talking to, the young people and the parents that you're trying to reach?
I talk about it. I'm just transparent and talk about it because what better way to teach someone than to show them your life on display? My aunt many years ago told me, nephew, you won't have the impact you want to have until you tell the full story. And I'm like, I'm not telling people, right? That was in 2018, I believe that was. I'm not telling you, right? You know how we get in our own way,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But then when you think back to Eminem on 8 Mile, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People talked about him through that whole movie,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened when he stood up there and talked about himself? He won the crowd
this
over.
This is true.
Yeah.
He had everybody's attention. And the people responded to him.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it the same way. When I had the opportunity to stand in front of 500, 1,000 students, whatever it is on that particular day,
mm-hmm.
that's my moment. That's my Eminem 8 Mile moment to be as transparent as possible, talk about myself and how I came back.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, because if you own your story, no one else can sell it.
Period.
My grandmother would always say that. And, you know, you hear stuff like that when you're younger, you're like, what does that even mean? I'm like, what is she talking about? And then when you get older, it's like, if you own your own stuff, no one can mm-hmm. come and take and sell or alter your story because you're standing in your truth and saying what it is.
That's why I brand myself the way I do.
I love it. I love it. Now I'm going to ask something. Give us one word for your past.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Like that.
One word for your future.
Now.
Darn it. Okay. What's the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I ever received.
Uh-huh.
When my son called me future Dr. Coleman.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
How old was he when he told you that?
12. Wow. So I was in Atlanta working on a PhD. And I get there. And I'm already intimidated, but I get there. And the ladies are dressed nice. The fellas are in suits and ties and polos. And I'm in joggers and a ball cap with a hoodie on. Like, what up, y'all? And then, you know, we kind of in the lobby, and I'm just overhearing conversations. Everybody speaks so well. Mm-hmm. Then I hear somebody say, well, you know, you only get to take the comprehensive exam twice. If you fail, they'll just give you a certificate, put you out the program. I'm like, I don't take tests well. Like, mm-hmm. So I'm already beating myself up. And so we get to the classroom. I do what most of us would do when we're not confident. I went and sat in the back of the classroom, right? I tried to be as unengaged as possible. And mm-hmm. I said, you know what? This ain't for me. You know, I got a master's degree. I got a good job with the public utility the utility company back home. Got a little bit of street cred left, you know? So I can go back home and, you know, and I left out of the classroom, went up to my hotel room. And when I walked in, the room was dark. And it was dark because I forgot to open the curtains that morning. First thing I do is open curtains, blinds every morning. That's just a habit of mine. But it was dark that morning. And I didn't think anything of it. I called home, spoke to my children. So I spoke to my daughter, spoke to my youngest boy at the time. And I spoke to my middle child, the one I call my superhero. Mm-hmm. And right before we hung up the phone, he said, I'll talk to you later, future Dr. Coleman. And I just began to cry. I heard him hung up the phone because they said a man ain't supposed to cry. So I didn't want my son to hear me crying. Mm-hmm. And I just remember saying to God in that moment, like, what are you saying to me? And I heard it clear as day. You're not just his father, you're his mentor.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh. So I ran back down to the classroom, flipped my laptop open, typed the word mentoring into my school's library. And that's when I seen that research on African-American mentoring was understudied. Mm-hmm. And that was going to become my dissertation.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you say the best advice I was given, my son didn't realize it in the moment that he was being used that way, but he told me don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In a moment when I had already defeated myself. Mm.
It's something about your children that will push you to greatness mm-hmm. even when you don't see it. I can relate to that.
Even wilder part about that is we instill in them that stuff.
Yes.
And we forget that.
Yes.
Right? We forget that we're the ones who gave them that information and then they just give it back to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
What keeps you disciplined on those days when you're just not okay?
If I'm to be honest with you, days when I'm not okay, mm-hmm. I don't know that I have those days anymore because I've learned to accept life as it is.
Okay.
So the moment I wake up, I'm excited, right? That's the blessing of my day. That's the, mm-hmm. everything else is, right? So I was talking to the young people on Monday in the class. I said, how many seconds in a day? How many minutes in a day? How many hours in a day? I said, if you have a bad moment, what was that? 2 or 3 seconds? 2 or 3 minutes? Mm-hmm. I'll give you an hour. What about the other 24 hours? So my point is, if something negative happened in my day, I give myself that moment.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's only that moment. You can't go forward with me. Going back to my one word, my future is now.
Now.
And if I take that in with me, that means I'm taking it into my future. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So when I wake up, and I know I annoy people. I do. I know I irritate them. Like, why? But you know who used to annoy me like that?
Who? Who?
My ex-wife. Like, why are you so happy? Like, our mm-hmm. marriage is falling to pieces and you're happy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be here, do you? And when now looking back, it's like, no, she made a choice. And I had to make the same choice. And now we like this.
I was about to say, so when you come on that other side of healing and, you know, going through divorce and trauma, now you're friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's beautiful, because a lot of people can't say that.
Yeah, we talk almost every day, and we're giving each other information that continues to make the next person better.
Wow.
The other party better. You know?
Yeah.
How can I support you with Dr. V? Or she just came in. It's like, I was on the plane telling somebody they need to look up Dr. V, right? Mm-hmm. How do I support her business, right? How am I telling people to, you're not my enemy. You're not my op, as the young
people. Exactly, right.
I got some.
You're not it, right. And so healing brings you to a place where you understand that happiness is a choice. And every day I wake up, I choose to be happy.
Yeah, yeah.
What will be your mentorship mantra that you give to children?
Give your parents grace.
Ooh, yeah.
Because as I shared my story, and I ended with this, and I get beat up on the internet for telling kids to go home and tell their parents thank you, and you know.
Yeah,
and
I've seen some of those comments.
And I'm like, y'all need to go to therapy. But the reason when I tell my story and I talk about the things that my children have said to me on my journey of getting to where I am today, I said, did y'all notice I was a parent? Mm-hmm. So that means the same way my children spoke life to me, you could speak to your parents.
The same way.
Right? Yeah. Or your guardian or whoever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Give them some grace, because there is no blueprint on this life.
It sure isn't.
Listen.
There is no blueprint. So if you think Dr. V is cool and yay, Dr. V, I want you to go home and think your parent is cooler.
Hmm. Whew. Man. Well, as we close, I don't want to end. Like, I feel like we could.
Oh, I got. Listen, we could come up with some more, but it was some good dialogue.
Yeah.
And learning about Dr. V was amazing.
Yeah, I've learned more about you, even though I've known you for a long time, but I've learned more about you in this moment. And
don't feel bad. I'm still learning about me too.
Are we all? Man, I woke up today like, okay. I crashed out yesterday for no reason. I can't do that again. So we talk about resilience and choices and redemption and leadership. Get it together, Dr. P. So, Dr. V, how can people connect with you? How can they bring you speak? Like, how can they follow? Where can they contact you?
Type into Google Dr. V the speaker, and I'm sure he'll come up.
Oh, perfect. I love Google the S. Me. Yes, Google me.
I always wanted to say that when I was listening, right? Growing up, we used to always want to say Google me. Yeah, you Google, right? The TikTok will come up, the Instagram, the LinkedIn, the whatever platform you're on, you'll see some Dr. V.
Okay, love it.
It was amazing.
Everyone, you know how to get in touch with Dr. V. As you know, he has reiterated and shown us, you have every day to make a chance to rewrite your story, to be resilient, come out on top. But it all starts with that choice, the choice to be happy, mm-hmm. the choice to make a difference, and everything else lines up.
He dropped like 7-8 bars, so I think he's gonna drop a song pretty soon, because he had
because he used, okay, we've ended the podcast, but he, in his, one of the things he didn't talk about, he did an internship. He was in media and music.
Atlantic Records.
Yeah. He's just amazing. So, folks, thank you for tuning in to the Mindful Edge today. We had Dr. V, the speaker. He dropped some dope nuggets on how we can change our lives. We would like to thank always our dope executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer. And tune in next time for the Mindful Edge. As we always end, I love y'all double time.
Love you guys.
WGTE. voices around us,